Hello and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Davis Hovey. On this week's recap, Alaska's newest kelp hatchery recently finished its first growing season in a mobile shipping container in Kodiak.
You know, we're pretty serious about biosecurity when we're in season because we want to make sure that we're producing the highest quality seed we can and reducing any risk of contamination. I mean, like every time we open the door, there's a risk of contamination, really.
More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at KodiakHealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
Tuesday, March 3rd, the U.S. Coast Guard Arctic District reported on Facebook that a crew member of the fishing vessel Aleutian Lady died at sea last week, approximately 170 miles north of Dutch Harbor. The Coast Guard says 25-year-old Todd Meadows of Washington State fell overboard on February 25th, just after 5 p.m. The crew recovered Meadows from the water unresponsive approximately 10 minutes later. Rick Shelford is the captain of the Aleutian Lady and posted on social media that Meadows was the newest member on board the 125-foot crabbing boat. The crew and captain of the Aleutian Lady have been featured on the reality television show Deadliest Catch in the most recent season. The Coast Guard says it is currently investigating the incident and did not release any further details about the circumstances surrounding Meadows' death. This next story comes from our colleagues at Alaska Public Media. Alaska lawmakers are considering another boost to per-student funding for public schools. Alaska Public Media reports the co-chairs of the House Education Committee introduced a bill on Wednesday that would boost the so-called base student allocation by $630. The new bill comes after lawmakers boosted school funding by a slightly larger amount last year. But with school districts across the state projecting another round of deep cuts ahead, Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Himshute says it's clear last year's increase was not enough.
Our goal with this bill is to not lose ground. So we made up some ground last year. We know that some districts stand to lose a lot this year in cuts. Other districts have made painful cuts. Can we restore some of what they've lost? Can we prevent some of the cuts that districts are facing?
The Anchorage School District is planning to cut more than 300 teachers and close three schools to balance its budget this year. Students in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough staged a walkout on Tuesday to protest deep cuts there, including three school closures. But the bill faces a long road ahead. Last year's votes required a bipartisan supermajority to overcome two vetoes from Governor Mike Dunleavy. Fairbanks Republican Representative Frank Tomaszewski says he'd like to learn more about the bill, but at least so far he hasn't heard minority caucus lawmakers clamoring to boost spending on schools.
I haven't heard of a large appetite for increasing education funding this session, so I'm interested in to see, you know, what that bill is going to look like and who is going to be in support of it.
For now, lawmakers are reckoning with a deficit, though an updated revenue forecast due in mid-March could change that picture. Majority caucus leaders in the Senate said on Tuesday they were hesitant to increase state spending as oil prices spiked due to the Iran war. Himshute says she's well aware there's no guarantee the bill moves forward this year.
We're looking at an incredibly tight budget year. So it's important to be realistic, but we also thought it was important to put an option out there that wasn't currently on the table.
And she says there are a number of other options to improve schools that lawmakers are still considering. The legislative session runs through late May. In other news, some Alaska school districts say they cannot afford to hire and retain international teachers after the Trump administration hiked fees for highly skilled worker visas. The Alaska Beacon reports Alaska school districts have increasingly hired international teachers through the H-1B program amid an ongoing teacher shortage. Until last September, the annual fee for such visas was $5,000 per person. Now it is $100,000 under an executive order by the Trump administration. Lawmakers are considering a resolution urging the federal government to waive the fee for hiring new teachers under the H-1B visa program, which they say imposes impossible financial burdens on Alaska school districts. Representative Elise Galvin of Anchorage, the sponsor of the resolution, said she introduced the resolution at the recommendation of U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan to bolster support for a waiver. The H-1B visa program provides non-immigrant visas for U.S. employers to recruit highly skilled workers with at least a bachelor's degree in fields such as healthcare, technology, or education. The visa is valid for up to 6 years. Alaska districts also rely on the J-1 visa, a cultural exchange visa program, to fill essential teacher positions, especially in rural parts of the state. The J-1 visa is valid for 3 years, with the possibility to extend for 1 or 2 years. Districts and teachers work with third-party recruitment agencies to apply for visas, and in recent years have shifted to H-1B visas for teachers to help them stay for longer periods of time. Currently, districts are in the process of recruiting and hiring new teachers. As they renew or transfer H-1B visas for next year, they say they cannot afford the $100,000 fee per person. According to Lisa Parody, director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, which supports districts with hiring and recruitment efforts, there are close to 600 international teachers working in Alaska. 341 of them use H-1B visas. The state of Alaska is proposing to lease the public parking lot at the Kodiak Benny Benson State Airport to a private entity, which will operate and maintain it. The Kodiak Airport Park and Store LLC has applied to rent and manage the public parking lot at the airport under a 10-year lease. The LLC is registered to Daniel Rohr and was created in November, according to state records. According to a notice from the State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, this will allow the private company to actively manage the long-term parking lot at the Kodiak Airport. It will also include parking fees for anyone who parks in the lot. Since February of last year, the Department of Transportation has been enforcing a 14-day limit for all vehicles parked in the long-term lot at the Kodiak Airport. The policy involves local staff issuing notices or tags on vehicles that are approaching the limit and then relocating those vehicles to a nearby impound lot if they stay parked for more than 14 days. Once a vehicle has been impounded, the owner has 90 days to retrieve the vehicle before it is considered abandoned and will be disposed of according to state law. The state is accepting written comments on the proposed lease until 4:30 p.m. on Monday, March 9th. Comments must be sent via mail to the Alaska Department of Transportation's Aviation Leasing Office in Anchorage. More details can be found online at the State of Alaska's online public notice website. Factory trawlers and bycatch dominated the Alaska Outdoor Council's Governor's Forum on Saturday, February 28th. It was the first time the group has held a gubernatorial debate, but limited it to 6 candidates, selected mostly on the basis of a membership survey. That left 6 other Republicans, 3 Democrats, and 2 independents out of the mix. But while it narrowed the field, KNBA's Ronna McBride reports it also limited the scope of the debate.
The candidates were polite and, for the most part, stuck to their time limits.
Real simple stuff.
About 50 people turned out at the Sidney Lawrence Theater downtown to hear 6 Republicans who pretty much said what you'd expect them to say to members of one of Alaska's largest hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation groups. There was former Senator Click Bishop.
When there's a moose steak, a sheep steak in every skillet, everybody's happy.
Former Anchorage Mayor Dave Bronson.
Most important things are to me are my family, my faith, and the great outdoors of Alaska.
Former State Revenue Commissioner Adam Crum.
60% of our land is under federal control. 60%. Too many land managers treat Alaska like a museum.
Podiatrist Matt Halala.
What's in the best interest of the next generation?
Former State Senator Shelley Hughes.
Fish and wildlife is why many of us live here.
Conservative activist Bernadette Wilson.
We have to fight like hell to make sure that Alaska is making the decisions.
The candidates all supported more access to fish and game, more science, more state control, but a lot less interference from the federal government. Among the ideas floated, Shelley Hughes wants to establish moose ranges. Adam Crum pushed for more trails. Dave Bronson says pink salmon hatcheries need to be reined in. Click Bishop says the Fish and Game Commissioner's job should be split in two, one commissioner for fish, another for game. Another suggestion from Bishop that'll probably go down as the most memorable.
I want clean restrooms for the women in this room on these highways, so that when they go use it, they don't have to go to the brush.
That remark drew a round of applause and a retort from Bernadette Wilson.
Well, first of all, Click, I'm very impressed with your knowledge of the condition of the women's restroom. So
But Wilson led the charge on the big issue of the forum.
We have got to absolutely address trawling that is raping Alaska's waters right now, throwing away hundreds of millions of pounds of bycatch.
Dave Bronson, Shelley Hughes, and Adam Crum echoed Wilson.
I came to the conclusion over a period of research of a couple months that something is terribly wrong here.
We like snow plows, but we don't like fish plows. Right now, when you look at it, the amount per hour of bycatch is 8 tons. 8 tons per hour.
We need to find a way to actually figure out what is going on.
Click Bishop said other threats to salmon must be investigated, like competition from Asian hatcheries. But all candidates agreed trawler bycatch needs to be a top priority for the next governor. Only Matt Halala urged caution.
We have to recognize that arguing to the death of one fishery and another has consequences.
The audience was made up mostly of campaign supporters and political operatives, like Brett Huber, head of Alaska's Americans for Prosperity group. He says it's still too early to identify the front runners, which includes some of the candidates who weren't invited to the forum. But based on what he heard, he predicts factory trawler bycatch will be one of the campaign's hottest issues.
It's not urban or rural. It's really a resource issue, and it seems to cut across all demographics and all political spectrums. So it's something that whoever's in this race and whoever's in office now ought to be concerned with.
And if a field of 17 candidates is not already crowded enough, Huber predicts we may see a few more before all is said and done. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
And our final story for this week, Alaska's newest kelp hatchery recently finished its first growing season in a mobile shipping container in Kodiak. As KMXT reports, the hatchery aims to help kelp farmers on Kodiak Island boost how much they can grow.
Once I'm in the nursery, I switch to my Crocs, and we're nursery Crocs all the way in here.
The nursery is a bright white 40-foot shipping container. Inside, Allie Conrad tends to baby kelp, growing in 10 uniform water tanks on her own, carefully adjusting light, temperature, and filtering contaminants out of hundreds of gallons of seawater. GreenWave, a national nonprofit, opened this first-of-its-kind nursery in Kodiak in August, with Conrad as its nursery manager and lead operator. It's Alaska's newest kelp nursery, often said interchangeably with hatchery. And the baby blue Crocs she wears, they help her produce quality kelp.
You know, we're pretty serious about biosecurity when we're in season because we want to make sure that we're producing the highest quality seed we can and reducing any risk of contamination. I mean, like every time we open the door, there's a risk of contamination, really.
Even on Halloween, when she danced to this song by Somber for an Instagram video in a hot dog costume with her lab coat, sterile gloves, and yes, her Crocs, all while rotating kelp spores and taking measurements. Every time she steps into the container, Conrad switches between street clothes and her lab clothes. In the fall, she grew millions of sugar kelp spores on 240 spools over the course of several weeks. The spores become baby kelp, and when that's healthy, it turns brown.
Like some of our best spools, I mean, I just started calling them chocolate bars because they just are solid chocolate brown.
Most of the kelp was ready by January. Then it was transplanted to various local ocean kelp farm sites. By this summer, those kelp seedlings will reach maturity and grow into kelp strands several feet long, ready to harvest. Growing large quantities of quality kelp seed has been a challenge in Alaska, with few kelp hatcheries operating in the state. With this mobile container nursery, there are now 2 operational kelp hatcheries on Kodiak Island and 8 total statewide. Dave Bailey with GreenWave says that's part of why the national nonprofit launched in Kodiak.
Kodiak needed some more seed for the new buyers that were in town, and we really wanted to test out the infrastructure that we've been working on developing over the past couple of years, and we thought that it would be a great spot to sort of start up.
Bailey, who directs farmer advancement for GreenWave, says the nursery reduced the cost of kelp seed production to 41 cents per foot of seed line and made it more affordable for local farmers. According to local kelp farmers, buying kelp seed from elsewhere in the state usually costs a lot more, an average of 50 cents per linear foot. Farmers typically need thousands of feet of seed line to grow their kelp. Bailey says GreenWave might eventually hand off the container nursery to the recently formed Kodiak Ocean Growers Cooperative, which includes 5 farms around the island.
You know, we're just trying to, like, de-risk everything for them right now, sort of understand the cost of production, how much labor is required, everything like that, to see if it's actually something they want to take on moving forward.
Bailey says they're eyeing 2027 for the potential transfer. Right now, Conrad's labor is the biggest cost to running the nursery. Then Bailey says it's electricity, roughly $300 a month, and the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center is not charging rent. Tollef Munson and his wife run a kelp farm in the co-op on the west side of Kodiak Island. Munson says he's looking forward to working collaboratively with the other farmers and the nursery to expand kelp production in Kodiak, which will allow them to meet the growing demand from buyers.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, in the hundreds of thousands of pounds with these buyers that are coming on, and we need to be able to support each other. So if one farm has some disaster help happen, we're not at a total loss for that buyer that, you know, has said, oh, I want 50,000 pounds from that farm or that farm.
Kodiak farmers expect to start harvesting their kelp in May. By August, Allie Conrad plans to begin her second growing season in her crocs in the Green Wave container, growing more kelp seed for next year. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
KMXT is supported in part by the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center, providing support for victims of domestic and or sexual violence. 907-486-6171.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Spotify. Our staff put together KMXT stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm Davis Hovey. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in.